Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
That the word of God will change them, that the word of God will instruct them, that nobody will return the way they came, and that there will be an encounter for lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, so good to see some of you. Oh, you're just resuming. So good to see some of you. All right, so I want to continue what I started last week. I want to continue from where I stopped in first service. And I'm going to conclude today what we captioned, going through temporary places. Somebody, let's cross together. Two, three, go. Going through temporary places. So this teaching is designed to help you maximize your transient times. And we are going to have transient times. We're going to have a time where we are not where we used to be, but we're not where we are headed or where you wanted to go. So it looks like you are in transient times. You are in transit between where you used to be and where you ought to be. And the amazing thing is, in transient times, the things you do, the mindset that you imbibe, and the actions that you give as a reaction to certain occurrences many times determines the outcome of the prepared place, the promised place God is taking you to. And a very typical example we find in the Word of God is about the storyline about God's people, the children of Israel. You have to understand that the Bible tells us in the book of Romans 15 verse 4, it says, for whatsoever were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through comfort of scriptures might have hope. So the things that were written aforetime were not just written there just because we can flip through. He wants us to read so that we can learn from them, because absolutely there is really nothing new under the earth. In fact, the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, he says that there is no temptation that is taking you, that is not common with men. He says, because God in his mercy will make sure that he will create a way of escape with the temptation also. With the temptation. So that means, that's why Jesus prayed. He says, I pray not that I should take them out of the world. He says, because in this world, you have temptations. You have trying times. You're going to have to go through transient times. So when you study how God's people left Egypt and they got to the promised land, when you study their life, you see, it's a lifestyle that is a cycle of times for everyone's existence on earth. That everyone at some point, you will be leaving Egypt, but before you get to the promised land, you will be in the wilderness. And when you are in the wilderness, how you behave yourself will determine how long you will stay there. Because even though God desired that in 11 days, you should journey all the way from the wilderness to Kadesh Barnea, which is actually the border of the promised land, which is 11 days journey, by the way. And even if though the spies went there to spend 40 days for them to go and spy the land to and fro, but because you refuse to comport yourself the way you ought to, you elongate it. And this is not just like God trying to punish you. It's just system of things. Let me give you an instance. If you jump, if you climb this hotel, this auditorium now, you climb up to the story building and you jump down, God is not going to suspend gravity because of you. He will allow you to break your leg. Was God seeing you when you were jumping? Yes. But was God responsible? No. So God, in his mercy, will now tap someone like me and say, my son, go and lay your hands on her so that the broken leg will be healed. She will suffer for like 2 weeks. Are you following what I'm saying? But if God suspends gravity because of you, there are a lot of construction sites that are depending on gravity. They are moving a lot of cranes using pulley system, and they are depending on gravity. If God suspends gravity because of you, in 1 minute, millions of people will die. There will be a lot of accidents all over the world because gravity is the same force that the guy driving on the road, on the highway at 120 is also depending on. So God sets systems in place. For example, if you are not a sower, it's not a curse, you cannot reap. See, these are just simple principles. These are simple things. So if you murmur in your transient times, you murmur, you complain, you refuse to call to remembrance, I want to encourage you. Listen to the first part of this teaching I taught last week. I can't go over it again because of time. If you always murmur and complain about your transient times, you can't see what God is telling you in your transient times. You will invite serpents, and serpents will bite you. But even though Moses, the man of God, will cry for you, and then God will tell Moses to raise a brazen serpent, thousands will have died. And the only thing God will still ask you to do is to look at the brazen serpent while you are being faced with the excruciating pain of the serpent. But know that, God would have been a funny God if he was the one who sent serpents and at the same time was the one that provided the brazen serpent to heal you from the serpent. You have to understand there's a difference between the permissive will of God and the actual will of God. So God in his systems has to permit some things because himself is bound by the rules he has set. Every law of God is for your own benefit. For example, if God says, stay away from premarital sex, it's not as if, if God says, stay away from premarital sex, it's not as if God is trying to get in your way of entertainment or enjoying yourself or fulfilling desires of your flesh. God is preventing you from some things. If you indulge in sin and you reap the repercussion, God is not going to enjoy or suffer it with you. It's all for your good. So now, God knowing that we will always have transient times. I did a teaching last year. I titled it, Responsibility of Freedom. Part 1 to 10. A lot of people in my experience as a pastor, pastoring young people for 12 years now, I can tell you categorically that a lot of people don't know how to respond to freedom. So you see a young girl on that level just resumed. This is the first time she's leaving her parents. She's 16. So now, because she's 16 and she's leaving home for the very first time, all the while, she's been keeping herself by the Spirit of God, by the help of God, but primarily because her parents were the ones literally in charge. They were the ones piloting her move. You must be at home 156. Who is that guy you are talking to at the back of the gate? Where did you go to? They put in checks and balances somehow just to control the activity of your life. But now you are in school. You are now free. You have freedom now. Now, if you are not smart, the freedom you have will become bondage. Because freedom without boundary later turns to bondage. Because what you are now free to do, when you now become bound to it, that you cannot do without it, that thing becomes your bondage. So I did a research. I went to Bureau of Statistics in the United States. I went to their website. I downloaded all the statistics I need to get to. I studied hard on it. I prepared a message with it last year. Go and listen. And I saw that the United States of America, the Bureau of Statistics under the judiciary, they said two out of every three inmates that is being freed from the prison, after 3 years, they get back into prisons. And they did a study. They noticed that 7 out of every 10 that has been freed from prison find themselves back into prison. Why? When they got freedom, they didn't know how to, respond to freedom, and they became encaved again by the former problem that took them there. Can we find this in scriptures? Yes. They left Egypt, but Egypt was still in them. Their mind was not renewed. So I'm giving you examples, perfect examples. In scriptures, for example, Jonadab was a bad friend. Told this guy on how to stylishly, behave as though he was sick so that his sister would come, Tamar. And that was the first, then he raped his sister. Bad gang, bad relationship. Tobiah and Sanballat. See, you can see examples for whatsoever were written aforetime. Look, if you read the Bible very well, you will not miss life. So now, going to temporary places, because this is something we are all going to experience in our lives.
Let me give you an instance. Some of you, God has a great future for you, maybe in the tech world. And now you are in 100 level or 200 level. But the system in Nigeria, the education system in Nigeria, has been designed to steal your time. Listen to what I taught last month. How to break out of stagnation. God has helped you. You are now in school at a tender age. But the system in Nigeria is designed to steal your time. So as soon we fight, university system will go on strike. 8 months is gone out of 1 year of your life. In case you don't know, it's your life. So now, how do you prepare to buy such time back? Some people, immediately they say they strike like this, they are going home. And what are they going to do at home? They become the one in charge of remotes at home. Then they resume again with big body, big flesh, add nothing. Now, some people, they are back. They can't, nothing they have achieved all those times. But some people stayed back. I know a number of people who stayed back, for example. There was one who has become a fellow of ladies in tech just by applying for some scholarship online, worth $2,500. But some people, when they think of, if I stay back in school, is the only guy that I'll be drinking? That's your problem. You are thinking of the garlic and the cucumber that you have to go and eat, just like Egyptians. You are not ready to suffer temporary discomforts. It's like you are not ready to pay the price for what you are looking for. That's definition, a perfect definition of a joker. So how do you camp in temporary place? So number one, last week we said, don't yield to murmurs. Repel the temptation to murmur. Because the natural response to discomfort is you want to express your displeasure and then you want to murmur. But when you murmur like what we just read now, when you murmur, you invite serpents. You create an environment for attacks of the enemy. You create an environment of despondence. Your mind gets attacked. And the devil cannot oppress you if he does not first depress you. So, and his goal is for the word that God has sown in your heart. Don't forget the parable of the sower. When the seed was sown, the Bible says what? That the what? The bird came out immediately for the word's sake. So the idea is to steal the word from you. That's why whatsoever were written aforetime were written for our learning. The things Satan said were recorded for our learning too. For instance, by studying the Bible, I have noticed how Satan operates. He does not have any other way. He always comes for the word. The first time we saw him in Genesis, what did he do? He came to meet the woman and said, as God said, you should not eat of this fruit. So he always came to, then the woman said, God said if we eat it, we will die. In fact, God said we should not touch it. You sit down and put jara. Then look at what Satan said, you shall not surely die. Meanwhile, God said they will surely die. Can you see that? He stole that word from her. The same thing with Jesus in Matthew 4 and Luke 4. In Matthew 3, in the last verses, we read incidents of how Jesus has experienced baptism of John, and a voice from heaven says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. The next chapter, Jesus was driven by the Holy Ghost to the wilderness, and the first thing Satan will say, guess what? You guessed right. He said, if thou be the son of God. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why it's called Satan, Al-Satan. It means shaitan. It means, look, an opposer. Someone that comes always against the word. So God tells me, come to Kefi. I say, where is Kefi? I have to look for it on the map. And you are at the basement of this ministry, you have 25,000 capacity. And now this is the fifth year, we are still counting in our hundreds. So Satan will come sometime and says, has God truly said you count in thousands? I say, shut up. Because I have examples in scriptures and in real life. T.D. Jakes was pastoring 300 until 1 year he preached some particular message. Woman that would lose the following year, boom, they filled up the stadium from 300. I've seen God do miracles, so I'm not moved. Are you following what I'm saying? So just by learning from scriptures, you can have a perpetual guide in life. Never making mistakes. It is possible. to never lose any war, it is possible. David never lost any war. So number one is refuse the temptation to murmur. Number two is acknowledge the importance of human guide. Get the tapes. We spoke about that last week, second service. Recognize and maximize informed counsels. That in your temporary place, there are some informations you need from people who have gone ahead of you. Isaac Newton says, if I have seen ahead at all, I have seen ahead by standing on the shoulders of those who have gone ahead of me. So in Numbers 10, 29, down to 33, you see how Moses, when they got to the temporary place, they got to the wilderness, he has to ask Obab, Obab, we know you've lived here before. Help us. Guide us. Come and stay with us so that you will be unto us as an eye. So that you will guide us. Numbers 10, 29. He says, that thou mayest be unto us instead of eyes. So it's an Eastern proverbial expression. He says, and Moses said unto Obab, the son of Ragel, the Midianite. Mind you, this same Moses has enjoyed human counsel from Obab's dad, Jethro, in Genesis, in Exodus 18. You remember? When Moses was the one pastoring the church, the church of 3.5 million people, only him was counseling them. Then Jethro came to him the next morning and says, you will die if you continue like this. Only you cannot be giving counsel to 3.5 million people. Create men, create departments, have departments, have head of departments, over 50, over 100, over 1,000. That they will help you judge in great little matters. The matters that are too small, that are too big for them to undo, they will bring it to you. So now, he's now also going to get counsel from Obab. He says, and Moses said to Obab, the son of Ragel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying into the place. You see, someone say journeying. Say it again. We are journeying. We are still going to where we are going. You can be a footballer, and then you can see how Pele journeyed all through. There was one time, you know, he must have learned from people how that when they come against you, you will not say some rash things online. You know, when you get to a place, you don't accept all interviews. And allow journalists to help you choose words that will rise against you in the future. Are you following me? These are things you learn from people who have gone ahead of you. He says, we are journeying into the place. That means we are on our way to where God promised us. And I will give it to you. Come down with us and we will do you good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning. See, our future is bright. We know where we are going. But we are in this place. Look at us. He now says, and he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and to my kindred. Look at what Moses said. And he said, leave us not, I pray thee. For as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness. Wilderness is not their destination. But because Obab knows how to encamp in the wilderness, some people are being where you are before. And make no mistakes about it. It doesn't necessarily have to be counsel from hindsight. It could be spiritual counsel because counsel is a spirit. One of the spirit of God, one of the seven spirit of God, or the seven manifestation of the spirit of God is the spirit of counsel. And that's why God gives you a pastor. Some of you are doing yourself a lot of disservice. You belong to this church, but you don't listen to our tapes. He says, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be unto us, what? Instead of an eyes. What do you mean of instead of eyes? It means it's a proverbial expression of saying, so that you will be to us a guide. You need a human guide in life. People who know road will show that they will show you road. And that's the definition of a leader. A leader is somebody who knows the road, goes the road, and shows the road. And God is going to bring those guides to your life. So you have to recognize them. At every juncture, God will bring guide, human guide. But they're not going to give you counsel that is contrary to God's word. It's the same God's word they will expand to you by the Spirit, but in a usable format. For example, a lady came to me, Pastor, my lecturer wants to sleep with me. Says that if I don't sleep with him, he won't give me my mark, he will fail me. You know? And I said, okay, because me as a pastor by experience, I have helped people through that same challenge. I told her, so what did the lecturer say? Say I should see him tomorrow in his office. Then we'll go to the hotel together and all that. And she was crying. I said, it's okay. Go home. You're going to pray tonight. When we pray tonight, because we know how to fight our battles. We don't fight our battles by going to say, you are a stupid man. Look at you. Don't worry. When the results come, you say F. Because you can, and because he's a lecturer, he can keep it there for the next 5 years. Human beings are wicked. That's why you must be smart as snake and be gentle as dove. I said, this is what you do. We're going to pray, do vigil. Then tomorrow you go. When you get there, I told her how to be assertive. That you insist on the right thing without demeaning the hearer's ego. She got there. Good morning, sir. You asked me to come today. Okay, sit down. So, have you finally agreed? Don't shake your, you don't agree? He said, ah, sir, you know, I actually believe that you're like a daddy to me. Ah, sorry, sir. Let me help you with this. Are you ready? Well, the man moved forward, tried to touch her. She said, oh, sir, please stop this. I respect you so much. Please don't do this. Eh? So I taught her how to comport herself. And then when she was done, she got us. The man, he says, please, I did not take this. She was sharp, but did not say, you are a stupid man. Look at you. Can you imagine? You are not even ashamed. I'm like your daughter. You want to? Can you see? You are ashamed. You go back to them. The next thing you say, please set her out of this place before you know. And if you go and report to the power that be, you know now. That's why they will tell you go to court because they own the courts. They tell you they will transfer your vote like this in real time. You say there. You say they will tell you they will off the network and tell you. Do you know what I'm talking about? They will tell you go to court. Because the justice in the system in Nigeria has been perverted. So you have to be smart so that you will not unnecessarily suffer what you shouldn't suffer. Don't forget, there's already a prayer power that has been backed off it. She came back, the result came out, powerful. Praise God. So now I taught her assertiveness. That you can be assertive. That means you can insist. I know so because I have encamped in that place before. So you know how to journey in your temporary place. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So acknowledge the importance of human guide. We saw that in the life of Esther too. That even though Esther had the power to actually take any. Let's look at it. Look at the book of Esther 2 and verse 10. Quick. Esther 2 verse 10. Let me show you. He says, Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai has charged her that she should not show it. Listen to me, look. There's difference between wisdom and telling lies. Let me explain. Look up, everybody. Look up. Don't worry. I know you want to write. Just focus. Listen. Esther was actually not an indigene. She was a Jew. And this is Persian Empire. Now, Vashti has left. By the way, for those of you, I know you've listened to many teachings about Vashti, that she's a bad woman. To me, I would do exactly what Vashti did. But that's not a teaching for today. Can you tell me to come and dance naked before your princess? Stay, you don't want me. Do you understand what I'm saying? But that's not teaching for today. It was actually self. Maybe she was not now assertive. Do you get what I'm saying? The king says, come and dance before my people. I want to show you to all the princes of all the 127 provinces that came in the banquet. And Vashti, beautiful woman, she said, me. What a dishonor. She was a feminist, and I am a feminist too. God is a feminist too. In case you don't know, that is teaching for another day. Go and listen to our teaching, part 1 and 2, Priscilla. We did the teaching on that. God is a feminist. Any guy misbehave near my daughter? All right. Apparently, she was not assertive because maybe she responded, she sent one of her guard and go and tell him that I will not do that, you know. And then the king got angry. And then the king was not even angry. It was the other chiefs that says, this is a dishonor. And it will send message to other women in the place. Let's use as a scapegoat. That was how they sent Vashti out. So she was on her right, but she was not assertive. There's a way to communicate. You know, have you learned a lesson from Nathan? How he communicated the truth to David. See, there's wisdom. Let me give you. God told Samuel, for example, go and anoint me a king. And Samuel told God, say, God, if I go, Saul will kill me. Because Saul was still a king, but God has rejected Saul. Imagine Samuel says, God, you said you got anoint king, guy? Yes, yes. And then Saul goes to Facebook. Meet me on the mount. I am appointing new king for the state. Saul will send DSS there. They will chop his head off, daddy. But he will have been killed while doing God's work. Are you following what I'm saying? But Samuel said, Lord, if I go, Saul will kill me. Look at what God said. Did God say, Samuel, go, don't worry, they're not born Saul well. God said, yes, I know he will kill you. But when you go, don't tell him you came to anoint a king. Was God teaching him to lie? He says, tell him you came to worship. Don't forget, worship is part of the spiritual rites that you must do to coronate a person as a king. Somebody say wisdom. So he didn't go to Jesse's house. Some of you thought he went to Jesse's house. No. He sent someone to meet Jesse, that Jesse should bring all his children to meet him on the mount for worship. It was a disguised worship because worship is part of it. In other words, what that means is don't speak the old story. Plan in secret. Shock the world with your results. Are you following wisdom here? These are wisdom you go and buy books to read. It's in the Bible. One of my greatest fascinating movies is this movie, 300. I read it just 2 days ago in the book of Judges. How God used Gideon to defeat the enemies. He told them, God says, look, they are too much. 30,000 against millions, they are too much. Says, take them to the, let them drink water. The ones that are poor, take them back. Only 300. And when they got to the war, guess what? They didn't have to fight. Hailstone came from heaven. God sent angels to remove the boats of their chariots of the enemies with 300 men. Have you watched that movie, 300? You don't watch. It's only Africa, Nigeria, that you are watching. Are you following what I'm saying? There is wisdom in God's word. These are usable format for life. There is office politics. I've worked there before in the office. There's a way to go about it. Don't say, everybody, I'm a righteous man. I don't like when they are. See, they are cheating me again. My name did not come out again. You will cry for years. You must know your way. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
That in the spirit you are praying, God will tell you, buy your boss a flower. God will say, go and greet your boss. And then you go there and then you say, boss, this is that, and then da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He will just wake up in the morning and says, then, and the king could not sleep. Because Mordecai one time has helped the king from assassination. But nothing was done to compensate him. And he did not go to Twitter to drag the king. Can you imagine? I helped the king from being dead, and he did not even compensate me for anything. And then he did not see 1,000 retweets. He didn't do that. He kept quiet. But guess what? A time came when a man was planning to kill him and all his generation. One night, they were fasting and praying. The king could not sleep. The king says, give me the book of remembrance. And they begin to open. They says, so there was a man that once saved me from death. Who is he? Says, his name is Mordecai. He's a Jew. He's always at the gate. So what have we done to him ever since to compensate in this? I've done nothing to him. Bring him. Then he asked a man, the one that was plotting evil, what do you think I should do for a man that I delight in? He thought it was himself. He said, the king should get one of his biggest horses and tell one of his major princes to be shouting behind that man who is on the horse. This is the man's, this is the king's man. This is the king's man. Okay. The king said, no problem. Do you know the man Mordecai? He said, I know that little rascal. Now get him on it, then you go shouting behind him. This is the man's king. And Esther said, Esther, you need to study the life of Esther. See how Esther used weakness to kill the most powerful man in the land. Esther organized banquet for his enemy. He did not go to mountain to cry and say, oh, my enemy die. He organized banquet with fasting. And he told King, "King, I know it's not right for me to come. If I may find favor in your eye, let me ask for just one thing." The king said, "Okay, talk to me. Talk to me. What is it?" "There is one man that seeks the life. See, I am a Jew." That was the first time she now revealed that she's actually a Jew and that she has a people in the province that are under death threat. Then the king stood up. "Ah! Who wants to kill my wife and all your people in this land? Woo, woo, woo! Is this wicked Mordecai?" But they were on the dining table eating. He was eating his last supper. Church, can you see wisdom in the word of God?
Yes, sir.
Meanwhile, he has prepared a gallows where they will hang Mordecai. So one of the servants just came. "Live all forever, O king. There is a gallows which this wicked man has actually prepared for Mordecai." Say, "Ah!" Because the king was a Yoruba man, he's from my village. He said, "Ah! Oh yeah, go and hang him on that thing." That was how the plot of Haman against Mordecai became his own trap that he fell into. Somebody say wisdom. So all this book you are reading, you know, seven things by ungodly people written. Look, if you read the Bible, you have these things there. Whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning. Look at this. Look at Esther 2. Look at verse 13. Verse 12. "Now when every made stone was come to go into the king's Ahasuerus, after she had been 12 months according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purification accomplished too, with 6 months with oil and myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odor, and with other things for the purifying of the women." You know, they were going to have the beauty pageants. So they were not supposed to appear before the king for 1 year. So for 6 months, they will be taking nice perfume, use nice aloe vera. They are not using all this premier soap, all right? They have to take their bait, look well, make nice bow straight hair that is 18 inches, all right? Wear nice mascara, look good. And then they have to have somebody, they have to have a beautician for 6 months. 6 months before they will look good to the king. They did not go and search online. They are looking for 1 week cleanser. All those things that kill you. So you are looking for a quick way to reduce my waste, quick way to make my skin glow. There is no quick way. It's a consistent, habitual things you do for 6 months, for 1 year. They were there, kept under the king's custody. And king had eunuch to tell them what to wear, what to eat, the clothes to wear, how to dress. Now, everybody has access to the ornament they should wear. But look at it. "Then thus came every maiden unto the king, whatsoever she desired." That means every other queen in context, they have the right to request for anything they wanted. So everybody was requesting for what they want to wear. "Ah, I want to wear green. Ah, I want chain. I want this." Then they go and present themselves before the king. And then they will go, do like this. The king say, "Okay, this one go. Another one will come like this. Do like this." Everybody goes. Let's go on. Verse 14. "In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned unto the second house of the women, the custody of the Shagas, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more." That means once you come to the king, you show yourself, the king says, okay, just make assessment, and then you go. You don't come again if the king does not call you. It's because there were many in the context. Now, he's about to get to his own turn now. Verse 15. "Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abiel, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go into the king." Now it's her own turn now in the 10th month. "She required nothing." Somebody, "She required nothing." She required nothing but what a guy, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. Don't forget, those other ones in verse 12 and 13, they asked for whatsoever they desired. But she was smart to know that the king's chamberlain knows what the king will like. Somebody say wisdom. So she said, "Look, chamberlain, anything you say I should do is what I will do." So maybe others, maybe they wear a see-through to seduce the king and, you know, content creator. But, you know, we are not listening to what you are saying again. I want to tell you something about your skin glow, but we are seeing something. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now that lieutenants in the king's palace can say, "This is what you should do, this is what you should do, this is what you should do." And guess what? The keeper of the women appointed, and Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. See, look. For everyone in the... Don't be acting, does it not happen in your own house? What's that? Let's clap for our tech guys. Let's clap for them. All right. Proverbs 30 and verse 7. The Bible says, look at this man. Let me read from verse 1. The words of Agor, the son of Jackie. So this is Agor talking now. Agor Jackie. That's his name. Then go to verse 7. It says, two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. He says, remove far from me vanity and lies. Are they displaying it for you guys? Okay, not yet, right? Please, I want you to speed up the media guys, please. Scriptures. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me not them before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Now, listen to this. He says, give me neither poverty nor riches. That means don't make me poor and don't let me be extremely rich. Feed me with food convenient for me. Now, he gives a sincere reason. Let me tell you something. Don't be too quick to assume that you will never leave God. That's why the Bible says, let him that think he stands, lest he fall. Let him think. Shebi, you see testimonials of globally acclaimed music, gospel musicians that come out and say they are no longer Christians again. And they are now professed to be gay. They didn't have convictions. Because you know one thing with money? Money is an amplifier. It will amplify all your evil tendencies. You that used to be nice, you started having millions. The next thing, you start seeing that you are, that's when you know that, you start believing that, I can't keep one woman now. I can't keep one woman. Why? I can have plenty of women. Why? Because money has come now. The reason why some people are keeping to one woman, why they are dating one lady and they are choosing to abstain is because they don't even have money to afford a room in the hotel. They don't. It's the truth. So now that you are still in that state, build conviction so that when money comes, you won't change your conviction. He says, lest I be fool and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal. Can you see? He said he doesn't want to be extremely rich where he would deny God and go haywire. At the same time, he says he doesn't want to be extremely poor where he would go and steal. But there's a perspective to look at this. This is a powerful prayer. From a consumption mindset, it's a beautiful thing, a sincere prayer. But if you look at it from the perspective of someone that wants to be a blessing, how about you build capacity to handle money so that even though you are rich, you will not forget God? Come on. Yes, sir. So you wouldn't have to pray that, God, let me be poor. Because being poor or asking God to feed only you is a selfish prayer. Because it says, give me to only that which will fill me. Look at it. It says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Me. Just let me be okay. Have you seen ladies like that? I don't want much in life. I just want a God-fearing guy, a car, a house, and maybe once in a year we'll go to Hawaii or Dubai. I don't want too much. Maybe a 4-bedroom apartment, just me and my husband. You know, just, I don't want too much in life. How so? Well, look, if from personal assessment, that will keep you and your soul healthy till you go see Jesus, is enough. But for some of us that want to go to nations, that want to bless lives, we'd have to have that thing in billions. And so we must build capacity now to be able to undo it when it comes. So in our temporary place, we must build conviction. So that when I'm standing before the richest man in Saudi Arabia, I won't change my conversation. He won't be asking me who is Jesus. I will say, he's a great man that I read in the Bible. Are you crazy? So that I won't be substituting God for universe in conversation. Have you seen people who say, well, if you do well, if you do good, you know, karma will catch up with you, the universe will... You know what? You are uni-crazy. Trying to avoid God. Have you seen people talk that way on social media? Just to be politically correct. A pastor of the biggest church in America was brought to a national TV, Larry King show. And this pastor, his father was a revivalist. Now they're asking him, are you saying Jesus is the only way and everybody will go to hell? He said, actually, that's left guard. You know, Pastor Benin says, I feel like entering into the TV to give him a blow. Who cares? Trying to buy who? The likes of Oprah Winfrey and Cole to buy them and Larry King on Larry King show. You can't stand for Jesus. No wonder they will say, this is my Bible, and they will never preach from it. It's a serious issue. Are there not pastors in U.S. now who are confused? They cannot stand. The government is saying that they must join male and male. They must join Adam and Steve. They can't stand their ground. Why? They are confused. But the Bible says Adam and Eve. Them, they say Adam and Steve. Eve and Evelyn. Are you following what I'm saying? They can't stand for the truth. Because the biggest giver in the church himself is an acclaimed gay or a transgender. The same thing that the first time we saw God angry in scripture was against sodomy. And before you start saying, look at them. Look, they were once humble like you until they got money. If you don't build conviction now, you'll be amazed at yourself. We are telling you to build character. The next thing, say, I want to be in a relationship. Pastor, the way my body is doing me, look. I feel build strength of character. That your wife annoys you and you still go to kiss her. I know you are saying, I can do that one. I always love her. Nyimu, come and ask us who is now in the place where you are wanting to go. Let me be your obab. When she wake up in the middle of the night and says, so I want to drink you, God. Where do I get you, God, this night? And you will be going all around Kefi, around 9 p.m., 11, 10 p.m., looking for, until you come back home with you. So don't come back home without you, God, this night. Are you following what I'm saying? Build convictions. Because money is an amplifier. And that's what Moses did. He says, make sure you bind the law in your hand and in your head. That means let God's word influence your thoughts and your actions. That's what will keep you when you get to the promised land. Because the promised land is surrounded by a lot of godless people that will get you into conversation. You are a tech guy. If you get your first gig with a German company and you fly out, they fly you into first class. The day you enter first class, you will never enter economy again. Even business class. You enter business class like this. If you were flying to US 3 times in the year before, you reduce it to 1. You will gather the money so that you can go through business class. So build that capacity. Then the fourth thing you should build while you are in your temporary place is beware of mixed multitude. Let me show you this then we close. Look at Numbers 11. If I stop here, you've learned already today, right?
Yes.
Numbers 11. In other words, beware of bandwagon effects. Just because the old world is doing something does not mean it is right. Do you notice that the narrative of marriage now on social media, even on the mainstream media and movies that we see, is changing? So you see a picture of a lady living with a guy. Then one day they fight. And then he says, take your load out of my house. I'm not marrying you again, another. And then they fight and then they pack their things. Then I pause. I say, what kind of narrative is this? Why are they even living together when they are not already married? Why are they cohabiting? You have given him all the benefit of marriage. No wonder see finish has entered. Because now he has shifted all your undergowns He has done all the, he has seen all the things that he should pay dowry to see. I know I may be stepping on, I may be hurting some of you, but it's a good hurt. When you go for surgery, if you have something on your wrist, or maybe you want to remove a tooth that is painful, the process is painful, but you know it's a good pain. So I know I'm pinching some people. It's a good pinch. Yes, it is. It will save you from gonorrhea. It will save you from unwanted pregnancy. It will save you from demons, unwanted demons. In case you don't know, you can get demons. My God. You lose everything. My God. Numbers 11:1. Look at what it says. It says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. Now listen. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. Now, for you to know how this thing began, look at verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again, and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? So it was the mixed multitude that had terrible desires that lured God's people to have the same desire for meat. You didn't get it. The mixed multitude were not Israelites. Let me show you. Go to the book of Exodus 12. Exodus 12. Exodus 12. And verse 35. Are you there? If you are there, shout hallelujah. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptian Jews of silver, Jews of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptian, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. 37. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men, beside children. Can you see that? They didn't count women and children. That means they're about 3.5 million. But just men alone. When I talk about men, they don't count men until you are above 21. Because men in the Bible means you are of the age to be enlisted in the army. That's why David was called a youth, because he was still a 17-year-old guy. That's why he was not in the war front too with his brothers. You must be 21 before you be enlisted in the army. And even when you are enlisted in the army, if you marry, they will tell you to go and live with your wife for 1 year. Honeymoon was 1 year those days. Why do you like that one?
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.